Hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on the Monday broadcast. Hope that you had an incredible weekend. Hope that God spoke to you when you went to church on Sunday. And I'm really excited about a brand new week, a brand new opportunity. I know you might be on your way home from work right now, but I pray that Monday's been a good Monday for you. I call it Marvelous Monday. It's the beginning of a new week, a new opportunity, and lots of good things can happen if you start your week off right. So I hope you went to church yesterday. Hope you heard God's message given to you yesterday. I hope that you went to church and you were a blessing to somebody, to your pastor, maybe to those who worshiped and led worship, to those who worked with your kids. I hope you said a big thank you to the preschool workers and the junior church workers because, you know, they get there early, they stay late, and they take really good care of your kids so that you can go inside and worship. And I want to encourage you, worship the Lord in person. If at all possible, get to church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together because, you know what, you need the church and the church needs you. The church is the body of Christ. So today I want to spend just a few minutes talking to you about the ABCs of grace. And we're going to be looking at the book of Romans today. And I love the book of Romans. This is where we get a lot of our doctrine from. A lot of things that we believe as followers of Christ are found in the book of Romans. You know, Romans has a lot to say about grace. It's an amazing book. And so Romans is what we're going to be looking at today. It was many years ago now, but it hasn't faded in my memory. It was a cold, frosty morning. You know that type of morning where you get to go out and you scrape your windshield? But on this particular morning, I was running late. So I jumped in and I took my place and started driving, and my vision was extremely impaired. Then it happened. I accidentally hit two pedestrians. One received minor injuries. The other received extensive and lifelong injury. That day still haunts me on occasion, as that triggered months of depression, years of guilt, and a lifetime of regret. And the last thing I felt I deserved was mercy or grace. You see, the truth is, it was completely my fault. I was totally irresponsible. And even to this day, I wonder how I could have been so stupid. You know, the consequences for my foolish actions were determined by a judge. My driving privileges were suspended for a year. I performed numerous hours of community service, and I paid some hefty fines. About a year after this accident, I found myself in court again. I was being sued for $1 million, and now I was facing a judge who was going to determine my fate, whether or not I'd have to figure out how to pay this $1 million or whether or not he would show mercy to me. Several came forth to testify, including the two who were injured. Although I don't recall the exact words of those who testified, the one person who was most severely injured said something like this: "Your Honor, I was severely injured as a result of this terrible accident. I cannot believe anyone could be that irresponsible. But Your Honor, I want you to know, I forgive him. He deserves to pay, but he needs grace." And with these words, the judge ordered the case dismissed. The one who was most injured gave me the most grace. When I think about our faith, Christ has been the most injured human to ever walk the face of the earth. Yet he gives us the most grace. You know, sometimes when we think about the crucifixion of Christ, we think, well, that was the Roman soldiers who did it, or that was the Jews who did that. But you know who it really was? It was every one of us. Every one of us caused Christ to be crucified. Now, we didn't force him to be crucified. He laid his life up for us. He willingly gave himself as a sacrifice. But because of what he has done for us, grace changes everything. That's right. Grace changes everything. You know, the American Bible Society recently released a report, and it said something that was kind of discouraging. It said that only 9% of Americans read the Bible every day. But here's some good news. 67% of Americans are what they would call Bible curious. And more Americans are exploring the Bible now than ever before as a result of the pandemic. Now, isn't this some really good news to know, although that most people are not getting into the Bible on a daily basis, they are interested in what the Bible has to say. So today I want to look at the book of Romans, and I want to give you ABC, give you these 3 points that will help you understand what grace does for us. And on future broadcasts, I will share the rest of this message. So it's going to take us a while to get through this, okay? And we're going to be doing it on Mondays for a while, and we're going to get us through it. And I hope that you'll enjoy this study. I hope that this will help you because we need grace. As a matter of fact, grace changes us. Well, here's the first benefit that we get from God's grace. Letter A is we have access to God. And I'm looking now at Romans chapter number 5 and Romans chapter number 1. Let's begin at Romans 5, 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith or through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in that we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now let's look at Romans 1, verse number 5. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. Now, isn't some really good news to think about God's grace, which is triggered by our faith in him, actually gives us access to God. Now, I'm sure everybody listening to this broadcast are familiar with a guy by the name of Warren Buffett. He's the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, and Warren Buffett is an investor. He's a business tycoon. He's a philanthropist. He is the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. He is considered one of the most successful investors in the world. As a matter of fact, as of about a month ago, his net worth was over $89 billion, making him the fourth wealthiest person in the world. Well, not too long ago, they were trying to raise some money for a charitable foundation, and they decided they would have an auction. And they decided that one of the things they were going to auction off in order to raise some money was that you could bid to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Do you know what the winning bid came in at? $351,100. Somebody actually paid $351,000 to have lunch with Warren Buffett, to have that access to meet with Warren Buffett. Well, I want you to know something. Access to God is not based upon our ability to pay for that access. You know, most people could not have access to Warren Buffett because most of us don't have an extra $351,000 sitting in our bank account. But I want you to know that you can have access to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's not dependent upon you winning an auction. It's not depending upon you having the money for that access. It is based upon the grace that is provided by Jesus Christ. Romans 12:2 says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think about yourself on a higher level than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you." Now, you think about this access that we have to God. God gives us this access, and we discover that he provides it because he gives us peace with him. We have peace with God. You see, we were broken off from that peace. But because of what Christ has done for us, now we have peace with God and we have access to God. You know, in Northern Ireland, there is a city there that is so divided. Part of the population calls that city Londonderry. The other part of that city calls it Derry. As a matter of fact, if you happen to know some of the northeastern states, like the state of New Hampshire, for example, you know that there's a Derry, New Hampshire, and there's a Londonderry, New Hampshire. They're right next to each other. Well, this particular city in London is divided. It's divided between Protestants and Catholics. You see, the Protestants live on the East Bank, and the Catholics live on the West Bank. Now, many people don't like these two populations mixed, but somebody says, you know, we've got to do something. We shouldn't be two divided people or two divided groups of people living in one city. So they came up with a solution. They decided to build a bridge. It was a 900-foot-long bridge that curves along like a snake and is designed for walkers and for joggers and cyclists. Get what they named this bridge. They called it the Peace Bridge. That's what they're trying to do. Build a bridge, build peace. Well, I want you to know that Jesus Christ has built the bridge for us. We can be at peace with God because of what Christ has done for us. Not only do we have peace with God, but we also have unconditional acceptance with God. We learn that Romans 1:5, that we have grace in which we now stand. We can stand there with grace because God has accepted us. Paul put it this way to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:5, and he says, we have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Isn't it so good to know that we have access to God because God came up with a plan through his son so that we could have peace with him and so that we could also be having this unconditional acceptance? You know, God accepts you just as you are. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't want you to become more like him, but as far as accepting you, he doesn't say, well, when you become good enough, I'll accept you. No, he accepts you just as you are. You see, there's one other thing that we need to understand about this access to God. We also have a future glory with God. The book of Romans 1:5 puts it this way. It's the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that amazing that we have that hope of the glory of God? We don't see it in its full manifestation right now, but one day we will. That is a future promise given to us. You know, one of the most prolific songwriters in all of Christian history is a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. She was an amazing lady. She was blind. She wrote over 9,000 spiritual songs. Fanny Crosby was blinded in both eyes at 6 weeks of age through a medical error. Somebody put eye drops in her eyes, and it was actually acid. However, she could visualize the beauty of Christ's blessing. And oftentimes, she could visualize that in her heart and her mind even more clearly than those who had sight. You know, as a result of what she has done, we are blessed today with so many great hymns of the faith. When Fanny Crosby was getting old, somebody told her that if she had been born just a little bit later in history, they could have restored her sight. So don't you wish you were born, 50, 60 years later, because they could have restored your sight. But instead of being bitter, she says, I don't know what I would change anything. I don't think I'd change a thing. Do you know that the first thing I'm ever going to see is the face of Jesus? Don't you get inspired when you hear about faith like that? When we think about the opportunity to have access to God, it is all because of God's grace. Maybe you're looking at your life and you say, man, there's some things I'd really like to change in my life. There's some things that are kind of off kilter in my life. I have this besetting sin, or I have this weakness, and it keeps holding me back. I want you to know you have access to the Lord who can give you victory. You know, sometimes people come to me and they say, well, do you know somebody who could do this? Maybe an electrician, or can you help me with this? And I said, well, I don't know how to do that, but I know a man, or I know a guy. When it comes to your weaknesses and your shortcomings, I can't help you out but so much, but I know a guy who can, and you can have access to him 24/7. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he gives you that access because he's been so gracious to us. Well, here's the second thing, letter B. We talked about access to God. Let's talk now about the boldness of God. Access to God by his grace, given us this boldness of God. You think about that word boldness. Boldness is this. It's an attitude of strong confidence in God. Confidence that God's going to come through, that God's going to work things out. We may be fearful of what's around us, but boldness gives us that confidence to hang in there, even when it looks like everything's going to fall apart. Look how Paul addresses this in Romans 15:15. Paul says, I have written the more boldly unto you. He says, I'm putting you in my mind. And why is he able to do this? Why was he able to write so boldly to the church at Rome? Why was he able to put things into their mind? Because of the grace that is given to me of God. In other words, Paul acknowledged the fact that he had this boldness because of the grace of God. You know, there's such a thing as false boldness that is driven by pride. As a matter of fact, Solomon put it this way, Proverbs 21:29. He says, the wicked, they put up a bold front, but the upright, they give thought to their ways. You know, a man may rashly expose himself to the world's dislike and even deliberately provoke its displeasure, and yet to do so could be a source of pride. True boldness for Christ is not based upon displeasure or pleasure of mankind. It doesn't care what other people think. True boldness that is driven by Christ is the boldness that enables us to forsake all but Christ. You see, the grace of God is so powerful and so overflowing that it gives us boldness to overcome sin. It gives us boldness to speak up when we should speak up. You see, God's grace is so much greater than my sin. I am overflowing with blessings because of the grace of God. Everyone who does not know Christ is a slave to sin. But everyone who has experienced the grace of God, they overflow with blessings, and one of that overflowing is that boldness. You think about overflowing. When I am overflowing with something, I am running over with it. When we're full of grace, we are bursting at the seams, and one of the byproducts of that is that we have boldness. Not arrogance, but we have boldness. You know, in Proverbs 28, it says that the wicked flee, though nobody is pursuing them. But the righteous, they're just as bold as a lion. Do you know what book in the Bible talks most about boldness? It's actually the book of Acts. You see, the new church, the early church, they needed that boldness to penetrate the darkness of the world. What happens when we embolden ourselves with God's grace? When we are emboldened with God's grace, here's a couple things that happen. Threats do not deter me. Why? Because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I told you that the book of Acts is the book that most talks about boldness. Here's a couple of examples of that. In Acts chapter 4, we discover persecution has already started in the church, and we discover that the church is speaking with great boldness, and we discover that the apostles said this. The threats that were coming against them, they said their threats were coming against us, but we were filled with great boldness. In other words, they were undeterred by the threats. Oh, I wish to God that the church of Christ would rise up in a unified voice and proclaim without shame the boldness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, going down a couple verses to verse number 31, it says that after they prayed, I mean, they're incarcerated, right? They're locked up for their faith, but they're not deterred. They still have that great boldness. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They didn't give up. Oh, I want you to know that if you are emboldened by God's grace, threats will never deter you. You realize that no threat can come against you. No one can come against you unless God wills that person to come against you. Well, here's something else. We discover that the early church also, not only were they filled with the Holy Spirit and nothing would deter them, they were filled with boldness, but we see that their movement was not restricted. You know, I want you to know something about the believer. Everyone who knows Christ is driven or moved by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, we see that Saul stayed with them. He's actually under house arrest in Acts chapter 9. He's going out to persecute the church, and he's just been converted, and they're now trying to come against him. But he is moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He's unashamed. I mean, he was just converted in this chapter. And we discover that Paul, now his name is Paul, goes from Saul to Paul, is now moving about freely, speaking boldly the name of Jesus Christ. We learn from Acts chapter 13 that Paul and Barnabas were able to speak boldly. They were able to speak the word of God. And even those who rejected the word of God, that didn't slow them down. You know, so many times we get discouraged. We get defeated. We talk to somebody about the gospel and we feel like it's being rejected. And so we say, well, I guess I'm going to go give up. We have something happen and we get so easily discouraged. I want you to know that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and God's grace is placed upon you, you are not easily discouraged. You have that boldness because you are driven by the Holy Spirit. Well, there's something else that we saw the early church experience. They discovered that because of the grace of God, doors were not closed. I want you to know that you are confirmed by the Holy Spirit, In Acts chapter 14, we see that Paul and Barnabas, they had spent some time speaking boldly for the Lord, and they had their message confirmed by the grace of God, and they were able to do wonderful signs and wonders. In other words, they had this ability to move on and share the gospel wherever God wanted them to go. Too many times we give men too much credit. We say, well, that guy is closing that door for me. I want you to know something about closed doors. When God closes one door, he opens another, or he opens up a window, but he's never going to have his message stop. We are filled with the Spirit of God. We have the boldness to open up doors. In Acts 18, 26, it says that they spoke boldly in the synagogue and something miraculous happens. Priscilla and Aquila heard them. They invited them to their home and he explained to them the way of God more adequately. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, well, I don't have the opportunity to share the gospel. I don't know how to share the gospel. Just tell your story. What did God do for you? You see, I've discovered something about sharing the gospel. The more I share the gospel, the more opportunities I get to share the gospel. The less I share the gospel, the less or the fewer opportunities I have to share the gospel. Just proclaim the gospel. Just share it with somebody. Paul did it boldly in the synagogue, and lo and behold, Priscilla and Aquila heard them and said, well, come on over to our house. And he explained them the way of God even more adequately. You know, the message is not restricted. I want you to know that if you are guided by the Holy Spirit, the message of God is not restricted. In Acts chapter 19, we discover that Paul is entering into the synagogue, and he speaks boldly there for 3 months. He is arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness without any type of hindrance. Listen, you cannot chain the word of God. They may try to chain us. They may try to hold us back. They may try to restrict us. Listen, we're living in unusual times, and I know that, and you know that. And I think too many times we get worried about our rights being restricted. What are we going to do if we can't have this freedom of speech? And I think we should fight for freedom of speech, and I think we ought to fight for these liberties that we have, and we should fight with all our might, all of our strength. But I want you to know, they cannot chain the truth. The truth will be proclaimed. And that's what we ought to focus on followers of Christ, getting the word out there. If they take us off one venue, go on another venue. Keep proclaiming the truth. Do not restrict the word of God. What we've discovered so far today that we have access to God, we have boldness of God, and we have the capacity to be holy. Let her see. Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, who are called by God. Now, this is a call to salvation. If you are called by God, you're also called to be his holy people. Grace and peace to you, says Paul, from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that little word holy appears 551 times in the NIV Bible? Now, the first time this word is used, it's used in Genesis chapter 2, and God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. God had that day of rest, and he rested. The last time it is used, it refers to a city, that holy city in the book of Revelation, which is in heaven, called the holy city or the New Jerusalem. I want you to know God has called us to live lives of holiness. You can do it. God's called you for such a time as this to be holy. Denzel Washington's mom taught him all about humility. And I don't believe you can be a holy person until you learn to be a humble person. He said this, when I was young and I started really making it as an actor, I came and I talked to my mother and I said, Mom, did you think this was going to happen? That I'd be so big that I'd be able to take care of everybody and I can do all this and I can do all that? Well, Mama Washington reprimanded her son. Oh, you did it all by yourself. I'll tell you what you do by yourself. Go outside, get a mop and a bucket, and clean those windows. You can do that by yourself, superstar. She said, boy, stop it right there. Stop it right there. Stop it right there, she said. If you only knew how many people have been praying for you, how many prayer groups that we have put together, how many prayer talks that she gave, how many times that she splashed you with holy water to save your sorry behind. I want you to know God has called us to be holy, and we can be holy. And God gives us a whole bunch of people to help us in our pursuit of holiness. I think about what Daniel went through and how he refused to give in to the demands of that government that he was under. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. They paid a price, but God delivered them. We are told to be holy because God is holy. Well, thank you so much for listening today. My prayers are with you as you begin this new week.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.